the greatest enemy of the gospel is Satan. And ever since the birth of the Christian church, Satan has done his level best to pervert the gospel, to blind the eyes of men and women, that they may not see the glorious truth of the gospel. And even within the Christian church, Satan has produced two major counterfeits that outwardly resemble to some degree the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but in actual fact are enemies of the gospel. And his purpose is to sidetrack Christians from the truth as it is in Christ. The first counterfeit, which Paul dealt with in chapter 4, is legalism, or salvation by works. The second enemy of the gospel is antinomianism, or as Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls it, cheap grace. And that is what Paul deals with in chapter 6 of Romans. In my introduction to chapter 6 of Romans, I reminded the listeners that the gospel is not only unconditional good news, but it is also dangerous news. When Paul makes a statement like this, found in chapter 5 of Romans, verse 20, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Such a statement, wonderful as it may be, is also dangerous. For I can take that statement and I can pervert it and I can interpret it to say, what Paul is saying here is that the more I sin, the more grace will cover my sins. Praise the Lord! Let us keep on sinning that grace may abound. But as we saw in the first 13 verses of chapter 6 of Romans, Paul's response to such perversion is, it is unthinkable. God forbid. How can we who have died to sin live any longer therein? A Christian by faith and by baptism has died to sin in Christ Jesus. And therefore, a Christian on the basis of this fact cannot condone sin. But another dangerous statement that Paul makes about the gospel is the one we covered in our last study. And that is found in verse 14 of chapter 6 of Romans. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You see, as long as you are under law, every time you sin, every time you fall, the law condemns you. Because the law is the one that gives sin the authority to pass judgment, to bring the curse upon the sinner. But the good news of the gospel is that the gospel has liberated us believers from under the law. A Christian is no longer under law, but under grace, which means that the law can no longer condemn a Christian who falls. Grace doesn't condemn, grace saves. But this is dangerous news for, as Paul brings out in verse 15 of Romans 6, what then? Shall we keep on sinning because we are not under law but under grace? In other words, it is so easy for a Christian under grace to condone sin as it is so easy for a Christian who knows that where sin abounds, grace did much abound, to condone sin. And Paul's question in verse 15 of Romans 6 is similar to his question in verse 1 of chapter 6. Can a Christian who is not under law but under grace condone sin in view of the fact that the law can no longer condemn us? And listen to Paul's response. If you have your Bibles, dear listener, turn to Romans 6. Look at verse 15 and see what Paul says in response to the question. His response is it's unthinkable. God forbid, or as the New King James puts it, certainly not. A Christian who is under grace cannot allow his position to condone sin. Why not? Well, the answer is found in verse 16 and 17. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the ones slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And now verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. What is Paul telling us here? First of all, he tells us that we are slaves of sin. You see, because of the fall of Adam, and we covered this in Romans 5 verse 12 to 21, because of Adam's sin, not only do we stand condemned before the law of God, but we are born slaves to sin. And Paul will bring this out in Romans 7 verse 14, where he says, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold as a slave to sin. Now, because of this, because of the fact that I am born a slave to sin, it is impossible for me to save myself. A slave needs a liberator. Just like the Jews in the Exodus needed a deliverer, so also we human beings born slaves to sin need a deliverer. And that deliverance is Jesus Christ. Through the gospel, Jesus has liberated us. He has saved us not only from the guilt and punishment of sin, but from the slavery of sin itself. And so Paul is saying that when you become a Christian, when you obey the gospel, when you accept Jesus Christ by faith, not only do you stand justified before God, but grace has also liberated you from your slavery to sin. And in view of this, how can a Christian condone sin? You see, in verse 16 of chapter 6, Paul tells us that we obey the one to whom we have surrendered to. We were born slaves to sin, and we obeyed sin, and if we had continued disobedience to sin, we would end up with death. But in verse 17, Paul goes on to say that we have obeyed the gospel. You see, faith is more than a mental assent to truth. Faith is obeying the truth as it is in Christ. Faith is accepting the deliverance from our slavery to sin, accepting the new slavery that we have accepted in Jesus Christ. And so in verse 17, Paul says that you have obeyed from the heart. That's what faith is. It's a heart obedience to the gospel. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. That is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have obeyed the gospel. And what has the gospel done? Verse 18, it has set us free. Free from what? Free from sin. It's slavery. It's condemnation. It's curse. But having set us free from sin, that obedience to the gospel also has made us obedience to Jesus Christ. Obedience to the righteousness of God. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now, in the Old Testament, we have two kinds of slaves described. The purchased slave is a person who has been bought to be used by the master. This slave has no freedom. He has to do exactly as his master demands from him. He has no choice. And that's basically our position under sin by birth. Now, according to the Old Testament law, a slave master was not allowed to have a slave for more than 7 years. After he had made full use of the slave, after he had got out of the slave all that he could for 7 years, he was required by Old Testament law to set him free. Now, if the slave master was a kind, benevolent master, and after 7 years set the slave free, and the slave realized that he was better off under his master than being set free, he could go to the slave master and tell him that he would like to be his slave forever. If this was his choice, then the slave master would pierce his ears as the outward sign of his own choice of being a slave to this master. And now he would be a slave to this master, not because he was purchased as a slave, he did that for the last 7 years, but now by his own choice. And the reason he chose to be a slave of this master is because he liked the master. This master was a benevolent slave master. Now, Paul is taking this experience, this practice, and he's applying it to the gospel. Because please remember that slavery was the system in which Paul himself lived. Rome practiced slavery. Approximately 40% of the inhabitants of Rome were slaves. And Paul is saying that as Christians, we were liberated from our compulsive slavery to sin, and by our own choice, we have accepted to be the slave of our benevolent master, Jesus Christ. And Christ, he says, is the author of righteousness. Therefore, if we have by our own heart choice, by our own heart obedience to the gospel, chosen to be a slave of Jesus Christ, who is the author of righteousness and not sin, how can a Christian ever think that it is okay to sin? Can you see the logic of Paul's argument? And he's saying in verse 19, I speak in human terms. In other words, I'm using this slavery as an example, as a metaphor, as a model, because of the way that you have difficulty in understanding the gospel. In other words, Paul uses illustrations not to entertain people, but to bring out a point. And that's what he's saying. And he's saying that I'm using this illustration of slavery that you may understand that when you obey the gospel, you have chosen from by your own choice, from the heart, to be a slave of Jesus Christ. That is why, if you are to read the introduction to Paul's epistles, in the great majority of his epistles, you will notice that Paul introduces himself a slave of Jesus Christ. Now, with this in mind, let's look at verse 20 of Romans 6. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Now, verse 20 is referring to our previous slavery, the slavery that we were born under, the slavery to sin, where we had no choice, no freedom to do righteousness. When we were slaves to sin, sin, our master, gave us no freedom to do righteousness. That is what Paul means when he says we were free in regards to righteousness. We were incapable of producing genuine righteousness. Yes, we did many good things. Unbelievers are capable of doing many good things. But you see, their goodness are only in terms of outward performance. It is impossible for an unbeliever, it is impossible for a person who is not living under grace, to do genuine righteousness. By that I mean righteousness without a selfish motive. You and I are born slaves to self. We are born egocentric. That is our slavery to sin. Because at the very heart of every sin is self. And because of our slavery to sin, it is impossible for us to do right things, good things, with an unselfish motive. Now, very often that unselfish motive is hidden from our own conscience. But the Bible makes it clear. All our righteousness, says Isaiah 64 verse 6, is filthy rags. And in Zechariah chapter 3, we are told that filthy rags is synonymous with iniquity. And iniquity in Hebrew means bent towards self, or this selfishness, or the works of selfishness. Now, Paul tells us that before we were converted, all that we did, good and bad things, were polluted with self. We were free in regards to genuine righteousness. What fruit, says Paul in verse 21, what fruit did we have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Number one, Paul says, the fruits of our slavery to sin was the fruits unto death. The wages of sin is death. Sin, our slave master, gives us no peace, no joy, but curse and death. And when we were under sin before our conversion, all we produced was sins, and the fruits of that sin, the ultimate end of those sin, was death. But now that we have accepted Jesus Christ, now that we have obeyed the gospel from the heart, no longer do we condone sin. In fact, we are ashamed of those things that we did. And now in verse 22 he says, but now, that is, having accepted the gospel, having come under the umbrella of justification by faith, or the umbrella of grace of God, but now, addressing to believers, having been set free from sin, please notice the word sin here is in the singular. He is not referring to our acts of sin. Yes, the gospel saved us from the condemnation of the acts of sin. But here in verse 22, Paul is not dealing with the acts of sin, but sin as a principle, sin as a master, slave master. But now, having been set free from our slavery to sin and have become slaves of God, please notice, the gospel exchanges one slavery for another. There is no such thing in the spiritual realm of genuine freedom. Either you're a slave of sin or you're a slave of Jesus Christ. Slaves we have to be. But slaves of Christ is not something negative. It's something wonderful, because Jesus is a benevolent master. He is out not to use us, but to bless us. In other words, our master's greatest concern is our joy, our peace, and our happiness. Therefore, to be a slave of Jesus Christ is not something terrible, but something wonderful. But now, Paul says, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. You see, living under the slavery to God, living under grace, abiding in Christ, means that He, through His Spirit, lives in us and produces fruits. As we saw in our previous study, when Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, being under grace. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. My dear listener, the gospel is a wonderful plan of salvation. It is a plan of salvation that saves us totally and completely from the tyranny of sin. You see, many Christians think that the gospel only saves us from the guilt and punishment of sin, and because of this, they condone sin. No, folks. the gospel saves us not only from the guilt and punishment of sin, it also saves us from the power and the slavery to sin. And by the way, it also saves us, number three, from the nature and the presence of sin. And this, of course, this third salvation will not be ours as a tangible reality until Christ comes. But while we are living in this sinful world, while we still have sinful bodies, but living under grace, it is possible for Christians to live a holy life because their slave master doesn't demand righteousness from you, but is able to produce righteousness in us. All that God demands for you, from you and from me under grace, is that we abide in Christ. You see, under the law doesn't lift up one finger to help us. But under grace, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. You see, Jesus, our benevolent Master, our Lord and Savior, can sympathize with our weakness because He was tempted in all points like we are. And that's what Hebrews 4:15 says. But He is also able to help us so that Paul can say, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengtheneth me. And so this is the privilege of being a Christian. Now let me sum up what chapter 6 of Romans is saying. Romans chapter 6 is dealing with the great danger of the gospel. And what is the danger of the gospel? It is this, my dear listener. Because the gospel saves us unconditionally, because we are saved entirely as a free gift, because it is the grace of God that saves us, it is very easy for a Christian to take advantage of that wonderful salvation and use it as an excuse to enjoy sin. That is the danger of the gospel. But Paul makes it very clear in chapter 6 that while it is true Christians do fall and stand forgiven, a Christian cannot have the attitude of sinning. In other words, a Christian cannot say to himself or to anybody else that because we are saved by grace alone, apart from anything we do, that this gives us the license to live as we please. No, grace gives us no such liberty, dear listener. To be saved by grace, which is through faith, means that we have died to sin. Why? Because justification by faith means that we have identified ourselves through faith and baptism with Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, and resurrected. And since the death of Jesus is a death to sin, Romans 6 verse 10, likewise, in the same way, Christians must consider themselves dead to sin and alive unto God. And that's verse 11 of chapter 6. The second reason why Christians cannot condone sin is because they have, by their own choice, from the heart, through their obedience of the gospel, chosen to be slaves of God. And God is the author of righteousness and not sin. Therefore, if you have chosen from the heart to be a slave of God, and God is the source and the author of righteousness, then He requires from us not sin, but righteousness. How can we, who have from the heart become slaves of God, therefore condone sin? It's unthinkable, Paul says. So, what is the conclusion of the matter? The conclusion of the matter is this, that while the gospel is unconditional good news, while the gospel is salvation by grace alone, while we are saved through faith or by faith, apart from any forms of works we do, a Christian must have the attitude, for me to live is Christ. A Christian cannot condone sin. A Christian cannot say to himself, it doesn't matter if I sin. It doesn't matter if I fall. It doesn't matter how I live, for I am saved by grace. No, a Christian does not have such liberty, dear Christian, dear believer, dear listener. That is why it is important that we understand what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Jesus came to save us from sin. Not just its condemnation, but also its slavery. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus Christ. John chapter 8. And if you have your Bibles with you there, turn to it. John chapter 8. Jesus is talking to the Jews. The Jews who were trapped in legalism. The Jews who were deceived by the devil. Who thought that they were going to go to heaven because of their good works. Listen to what Jesus says to the Jews. Chapter 8 of John, verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. To this the Jews responded. They answered to him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Oh, how deceived these Jews were, because at the time they made this statement, they were in bondage to Rome. But Jesus was not talking about political bondage. Listen to what Jesus says in response to their statement. Jesus answered them. This is verse 34 of John 8. Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Have you got it? We sin because we are slaves to sin. But the good news is, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And so my prayer for you, my dear listener, is the statement that Jesus made to Mary after he forgave her. Go and sin no more. For Jesus, the Son of God, has set you free from the slavery of sin. And this is my prayer for you in Jesus' name. Amen.